Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Pandemics will be a part of our future. The question is, how do we protect ourselves? Are you willing to put your trust in an untested vaccine, hoping it kills mutating viruses? Remember, in 1976, health officials tried to inoculate Americans with swine flu, and there was a 300% death rate in those inoculated, and millions were paid out in damages. God gave you a sophisticated immune system, and in times of need, you can make it 10 times stronger. So there's no need to panic. Just get prepared. Call Apothecary Herbs to order your upgraded pandemic kit. You will have 8 professional strength formulas offering broad-spectrum immune-boosting protection. Take a stand, have a plan, have peace, and request your pandemic kit today. Or take your chances with the bad boys. Call Apothecary Herbs toll-free, 866-229-3663, or online, thepowerherbs.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm Alfred Adusk, and this is Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver, 1-800-375-4188. What is today, the 27th, Wednesday, the 27th of August, year of our Lord, 2014? Wendy Wilson will be joining us shortly from thepowerherbs.com. Before she comes on the air, let's take a look and see what's happened to the metals and equities and so on in the markets. Gold is up $2.30 today to $1,283.90 per ounce. Silver's up 8 cents to $19.54. Platinum is up $6 to $1,424. Palladium is up $5 to $894 per ounce. Dow Jones is up 10 points to 17,117. NASDAQ is off 3 to 4,567. New York Stock Exchange is up 10 points to 11,035. U.S. dollar index is down 0.22. That's almost surprising to me. Dollar's gone up so much lately that it's surprising to see it go down. 82.44 is the U.S. dollar index today. And crude oil is off 1 cent to $93.85 per barrel. It's not a big, it's a tiny fall in the price, but it isn't a rise either. So crude oil is a mystery. We've talked about it previously on the program, but there's something mysterious happening with crude oil. Let's get Wendy Wilson on from the apothecary herbs, and what else is this? Thepowerherbs.com. Her number is 866-229-3663. Hello, Wendy, are you there?
Hi, Al. Yes, I'm here. How are you doing?
Good, how are you?
I'm good.
So what's on the subject matter for today? Super flu and lab-acquired infections?
That's right. Yes, we're delving into what is our threat, our real threat, to all these man-made pathogens that they're creating in a lot of these bio labs all across the United States and even globally. Because recently it's been in the news, there's been a cluster of safety breaches and protocols regarding some of the government-run labs. And Americans should not assume that things are secure. Okay, so there's been some lab accidents. So what can the public
And when we say expect? There have been some lab accidents, the ones that mm-hmm. captured media attention were at the Center for Disease Control.
Correct.
We're not just talking about some oddball little lab in somebody's garage.
Right.
Those
right.
guys ought to have it under control. Go ahead.
I would assume. Everybody assumes that, but we should not assume that. So we're going to check and see what the public should expect when scientists and labs are increasing the transmissibility of these pathogens and making them more deadly than they already are. So like you mentioned, in 2014 in June, the CDC in Atlanta, Georgia, exposed 75 employees to anthrax. They said that the threat to the public was negligible. However, most people have concerns about the next time a breach occurs. So, and you got to ask yourself, why would the CDC and the U.S. government want to grow and harvest anthrax? And well, they tell us it's to develop anthrax detectors to prevent terrorist attacks.
Mm-hmm.
Now, according to some scientific experts, the H1N1 bird flu escaped from a lab in China and Soviet Union in 1977 and spread globally. Then they also mentioned that smallpox in 1978 escaped from a Birmingham medical school and killed several people. The foot and mouth virus escaped from a vet's laboratory in Surrey in 2007, and the SARS virus escaped a level 3 lab in Beijing in 2004, prompting the infection that many have experienced from that. So
you
we
said
have
they
some,
have escaped a level 3?
A level
How many
three.
Levels are there?
There is a level 4, but level 3 is pretty high. It's you have to be in a level
4
three.
Is maximum security.
The
drugs are on 24-hour-a-day lockdown.
Mm. Well, there's some controversy over the new research that Yoshihiro Kawaka at the University of Wisconsin-Madison is conducting. He took the 2009 H1N1 bird flu, and he took the strain down to what he calls his original state and manipulated it and made it even more infectious than it is today. So we're told that his work was in order to make more effective flu vaccines. But research made it clear that he's made a super flu pathogen, which is immune to the human immune system antibodies, leaving mankind basically defenseless against this. So fellow scientists are not congratulating Kawaka on his work, which he has submitted to a scientific journal. But he did say in his defense that his work in the lab just mimicked what he says would happen in nature, where viruses mutate and emerge more resistant. So he feels that it was just a matter of time before the H1N1 flu bug became immune system proof. What do you think of that?
I think people like him ought to be shot. That's what I think. No, these people are out of their minds. I don't care what they think they're doing. It's a bunch of crap that they're protecting us against the terrorists. We're going to develop. This is like saying we're putting poison in your drinking water in order to build your immunities to poison. This is crazy. And it's inevitable that they are going, if they continue with this, mm-hmm. they're going to create a pathogen that's going to kill everybody or so many people that it's hard to believe. You know, we talk about some of these pathogens, the flu, for example. The flu is in a constant state of evolution. I get that. And we have, you know, stronger varieties are probably coming online just in nature. But at the same time, man's immunity system is also amping up. Our immunities are growing with the strength of the flu vaccine. or excuse me, the flu virus. But if they're going to create a new flu virus that is not part of that evolutionary change where they grow a little, the virus goes and our immunity grows and so on, up, they can jump ahead of us and we have no defense.
Right. Well, that's the idea. I totally agree with your position. I really do. I think they're mad scientists. I think they need to, you know, their head checked. But here's something that's interesting. You know, Ebola, pretty bad little virus there. When you handle Ebola, that has to be handled in a level 3 laboratory, Al. But the superflu Kawaka worked on was only done in a level 2 lab. What do you think of that? So now... Hey, the
depends
Wisconsin-
on who's doing the experiment, doesn't it?
Right. Well, the Wisconsin Institutional Biosafety Committee stated that they were not informed about the details of Kawaka's antibody study on the flu virus, and they objected to the direction and lack of oversight regarding the safety of his flu research. So if the Biosafety Committee didn't know, then you know the public of Madison, Wisconsin didn't know. And who's safe? Not really anybody.
No one
now,
is.
Yeah, and according to Rebecca Moritz, she oversees the Wisconsin work on viruses. Get this. She says the World Health Organization knew. They had the preliminary knowledge of his creation of the superflu, and that, and she said it was well received. So the World Health Organization is on board with this work.
Well, that's, you know, that just raises another question. What is the World Health Organization really up to?
Right.
Are they up to maintaining public health, or are they up to trying to maintain a death rate that won't overpopulate the planet?
Well, we're getting to that. But, you know, the U.S. National Research Council reported in 2011 there was 196 incidences where contaminants, virulent pathogens, went missing between 2003 and 2009. So we realize there's safety protocols, but really what protects us if a rogue lab employee decides he wants to accept a bribe and sell a viral full of death to somebody?
I understand. It's not just a question of corruption. It's also question of inevitable idiocy and apathy. And you do the same thing day after day after day. And it's like guard duty at a military post. Hard to keep guards alert because every day it's the same old stuff and nothing happens. And people just go to sleep. They stop guarding their post.
Well,
you have to inspire them. This is the same thing.
Well, yeah, and Dr. Carley has mentioned that she has stumbled across some information, some evidence that they're designing, pathogens that they call designer pathogens that target a specific culture, DNA.
Specific race.
Yeah.
I've heard stories for years that they've developing diseases for which you can get a specific vaccine. Antibody that's tailored to your genetics and yours only, and it might stop the vaccine might stop the virus in your body, but it would have no effect in mine. And it means that they could manufacture these vaccines for the President of the United States and members of Congress and the wheelers and dealers, but nothing for the great unwashed.
Well,
they could walk right through the valley of death and not catch that vaccine while the rest of us would be decimated.
Right. We get that. Well, now the flu viruses are more deadly than anthrax because they're more contagious, okay? And they're going to kill more than anthrax would. Now, numerous letters from virologists and epidemiologists, they wrote to the Journal of Science and Nature, and they voiced their concern over this kind of work that's going on. They say, at present, there's really no international regulations or guidelines in place to decide whether this type of research should be conducted. So there's really no oversight, is what they're saying. Now, get this. This is real interesting. The Frontier in Public Health Infectious Disease, they attempted to establish a level of risk for us people, and they think they have estimated the level of risk of these biolabs making people sick at 27%, which in their opinion is really too high for humanity to live with. Now, according to their estimates, they have this...
You don't understand how crazy that is.
Yeah.
What are they saying? A 10% risk of wiping out the world, that's acceptable, but 27% of wipe, that's too high. Are these people out of their minds? Are they out of their freaking minds. If there's a 1/1,000,000th of a percent possibility, it's too much.
Well, let me finish what I wanted to say here. Now, according to their estimates, they have this lab-created pathogen of Kawawaka's. It's a superflu, which has substantial probability to, in their opinion, seed an undetected pandemic that could kill at least 100 million people. They call it a lab-acquired infection, or LAI. Now, the probability of an infected lab employee contaminating a population with this is 30%. Now, if the employee takes public transportation home from the lab, the risk increases. So the risk factors were put into a computer-generated software with various scenarios and, population density and this and that. The results actually did support a lab-escaped pathogen that would probably not be detected until it's too late, and that probability was at least a 15% probability. So they say that the improper handling of viruses, employees not wearing appropriate protection, happens all too often in these labs and creates a higher risk. Now, the CDC, Homeland Security, and the National Bio and Agro Defense Facility in Manhattan, Kansas, all downplay these statistics to about maybe 2.4%.
Okay? Oh, great.
Yep. And, hey, B, I want to read this to you. This is an impartial entity. This is the National Research Council. They say this. This is their opinion. The committee finds the extremely low probabilities of release are based on overly optimistic and unsupported estimates of human error rates, underestimates the infectious material available for release, and inappropriate treatment for dispensitaries, and uncertainties and sensitivities in calculating the release probability. So the National Research Council says the Homeland Security and also the Defense Facility in Manhattan are all downplaying those statistics without any supported data, they're saying.
Well, what we're talking about, when they have 2.4%, is a chance in 40 that something might escape that'll kill us all.
Well,
and they're willing to take that. That's reasonable risk to kill the world. I mean, I don't expect the entire world to die, but that's essentially what they're arguing. A chance at 40.
Well, the Frontier computer went a step further. They actually ran the information on the history of labs over a 10-year lifespan to see what the deadly risk was. And by the way, the CDC refused to give Frontier the total number of biolabs in the U.S., so it kind of hindered their estimate a little bit, but they ran off some other data the CDC did give them. So they say the risk of a deadly pathogen escaping over a 10-year period in these labs, based on history that they did have, has an almost certainty rate of 91%. The likelihood that the escape pathogen will actually hurt people is a 31% probability. And they say these probability statistics are not improbable. And according to the European Commission and 56 scientists in over a dozen countries that say these probabilities are not hypothetical. In their opinion.
No, I understand.
Lab escape pathogen is not a hypothetical situation.
Who are they worried about? They're worried about somebody who might strap a bomb to their belly.
What I would do is, I keep my system clean of toxins, I boost my immune system, and then I pray Psalms 91 for everything I can't do.
I agree.
I
understand.
And so
we live in interesting times, Wendy.
I know.
Why don't you give us some contact information?
Sure. Well, we got tons of immune boosters and organ cleansing kits at Apothecary Herbs. The website is thepowerherbs.com, but they can also call toll-free at 866-229-3663, 866-229-3663. If you have trouble sleeping out, take some valerian root.
All right, I'll bear that in mind. I have trouble sleeping regularly. I sleep plenty, but I don't necessarily sleep on a regular schedule. We'll talk about that another time, perhaps. This is
okay.
I'm Alfred Addis here with Wendy Wilson from thepowerherbs.com. You can reach Wendy at 866-229-3663. We'll be back on Financial Survival in just a couple of moments. Please stay tuned.
Pandemics will be a part of our future. The question is, how do we protect ourselves? Are you willing to put your trust in untested vaccine, hoping it kills mutating viruses? Remember, in 1976, health officials tried to inoculate Americans with swine flu, and there was a 300% death rate for those inoculated, and millions were paid out in damages. God gave you a sophisticated immune system, and in times of need, you can make it 10 times stronger. So there's no need to panic. Just get prepared. Call Apothecary Herbs to order your upgraded pandemic kit. You will have 8 professional strength formulas offering broad spectrum immune boosting protection. Take a stand, have a plan, have peace, and request your pandemic kit today. Call Apothecary Herbs toll free 866-229-3663 or online thepowerherbs.com. That's 866-229-3663 or thepowerherbs.com.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Are you concerned about prescription drug dependency to stay healthy? Are you worried that the cost and availability of your medications may put your health at risk? Perhaps it's time you consider a natural, safe, and effective way to deal with your health problems. If only you knew where to start. Start right here. Tune in to Herb Talk Live with herbalist Wendy Wilson every Tuesday and Thursday evening, 7 p.m. on AmericanVoiceRadio.com, where your healthcare options just became endless.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Adusk. This is Financial Survival brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver. We've got two specials for you today. All right. It seems to me that they should have two specials on Tuesday. You know, you get, if you're going to have two and two, that makes a certain amount of sense to me. On Wednesday, maybe you should have three specials, but we have two specials. And the first one is an MS63 $20 St. Gaudens and a 1 ounce Silver Eagle. Shipping included, $1,580. All right. Again, Mint State 63, $20, St. Gaudens. It's one of the most beautiful coins ever minted. They offer any portfolio protection, privacy, and performance. 1 ounce Silver Eagle, of course, is 99.9% pure silver, minted by the U.S. Mint. You get 1 ounce of one ounce Silver Eagle and a 1 ounce $20 St. Gaudens gold coin for $1,580. Shipping included. Call Discount Gold and Silver at 1-800-375-4188. And the second special du jour is 90% silver for only 50 cents over the spot price of silver while supplies last. Now, it depends on, I can't give you a price per se, whatever the spot price is of silver when you call in, that's the spot price plus 50 cents that you're going to be charged on your 90% silver order. These are dimes, quarters, half dollars. I don't know exactly which coins they'll be, but printed prior to 1964, if I recall correctly, and they are 90% silver, and therefore, good deal. I mean, this is almost a spectacular deal. You can buy silver for only 50 cents over spot. You understand? You can't do that with silver eagles. You can't do it with anything else you're likely to name. This is an extraordinary deal on silver. Give them a call. Tell them how much you're interested in spending. They'll tell you how many ounces you're going to get and what face value you're going to get. 1-800-375-4188. Frank Stefan is the producer of the program, and he gets recruited to be co-host when Melody is bye-bye, which she is. And so Frank is here today. Is that true, Frank?
I am.
Ha-ha! And you didn't even have your...
No, I was ready.
Your fader. Oh, my gosh. Right. Here's a story from the Associated Press. Here's the headline. Survey, U.S. consumer confidence near a seven-year high. Washington, U.S. consumer... No, are you laughing?
I am. I'm sorry.
This is a serious story, Frank, and you're laughing at it. You're discrediting the serious story here. And I don't know if that's appropriate or not.
No.
U.S. consumer confidence this month reached its highest.
Are you laughing over there, Al? This is a
serious story. Yeah, I'm thinking about how much fluoride do you have to put in the drinking water to get this result on consumer confidence. But consumer confidence this month reached the highest point in nearly 7 years, boosted by strong job gains. The conference board said Tuesday that the confidence index rose for the fourth straight month to 92.4 from 90.3 in July. The August reading was the highest since October of 2007, 2 months before the Great Recession officially began. The optimism suggests that Americans will be more likely to spend in the months ahead, an important boost to the economy. Consumer spending drives 70% of the U.S. economic activity. Rising confidence is certainly a good thing, but is it a rational thing, Frank?
Well, and are they telling the truth?
That's the other question.
Are they even
telling the numbers? Are these the same people who calculate the unemployment rate, the inflation rate, the money supply, and so on?
Well, I mean, honestly, when you talk to people, do you run into a lot of people that say, man, you know what? I am feeling really good about the economy. I think I'm going to go buy me some stuff because I got all this extra money, and it's just great, man. Yep. I don't meet anybody like that. Where are these people?
I don't know. Maybe the other half is just getting on, and we're just not keeping up. Maybe that's what's happening. We live in, I don't know, kind of a depressed neighborhood or something.
All my friends are losers. That might be it.
Maybe so. Maybe
you know, that's why
we haven't caught wind of this thing, rising confidence. But has there been a significant improvement in fundamentals of the U.S. economy? Isn't the middle class still being destroyed? Isn't the government broke? Isn't the national debt unpayable? Are American jobs previously shipped overseas suddenly coming back to the United States? Are illegal aliens being stopped from entering, or are they being encouraged to enter the United States and thereby suppress U.S. wages?
Man.
You know,
You're being a real downer here, man.
I know. You're wrecking
all the confidence.
I know. It's a buzzkill. That's what
I'm out to. Wow.
Somebody's got to deal with this stuff rationally. But the economy does not simply run on what feels good.
Okay, I'm going to take
There's some fundamental reality behind it.
I'm going to take the administration's point of view. Why? Why do we have to deal with reality?
Yeah, I agree. Exactly. Why should, as long as we can print money and spend money out of thin air, what interest do we have in reality?
Is this a great country or what?
Yeah, is it a great spell? Is it a great magic spell? Is it a great act of sorcery or what?
I honestly, and I realize they could probably show, no, here's the study we did and here's the thing we did. But, you know, I watched during the elections, I guess, a few cycles ago, this guy named Frank Luntz. He was working for Fox News, and he did all their polling. And he was, like, really pushed to the front. But after the election cycle, he actually did a special and showed everybody, well, look, here's how we'd go about this. Here's how we manipulate what the polls say.
Yeah.
This is what makes it scientific,
uh-huh.
is that we can control it. And
it's not fraudulent, it's scientific.
That's right.
That's if it was fraudulent, that would be criminal, that would be wrong, but if it's scientific.
Right. And we're not monkeying the numbers, we're homogenizing them.
Yes. It's important getting to get your numbers homogenized.
But he explained, you know, and so the thing is, you can say, well, we had a poll. Yeah, okay, but what did you do to that? Who did you ask? Yeah, I got polled. And the minute, oh, this was years back, the first Ron Paul run for president. And I got called and they say, this is so-and-so company and we're doing a poll and we've been hired by so-and-so to do this. Would you care to participate? And I said, sure. And they said, okay, are you registered this or that? I said, independent. And they go, okay, and who, you know, they gave me the list, this or that. And I said, none, Ron Paul. And they go, okay, thank you, and hung up. In other words, oh, you didn't say the right answer, so we're just going to take you out of the poll.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's easy to get the answers you want if you are allowed to do that.
I understand that.
You know, so
you just keep going through people until you finally get somebody who says what you want to hear.
Right. And you go, oh, look at that. Then we've got 800 people that said exactly what we want. And there you go. And you go to the person that paid you to do this poll and say, hey, look, everything's roses for you. And they go, wow, we love this polling company.
Yeah,
and
I
everything
understand.
Comes by our way with these guys. It's so fraudulent that it's amazing that they've gotten away with it this long.
Well, why does it work?
I don't know. Maybe it is the fluoride. I don't know. Because people, like I said, nobody I talk to, nobody I see is experiencing this recovery and has a lot of confidence in the economy. Yet it comes out this
way. That makes no sense.
But yet people go,
no,
oh, well, you know, hey, the polls say, look at that. Oh, great. And I think
that's where you're getting close to why this works.
Yeah, I think they're
because
actually
people
trying.
Won't trust their own eyes and their own ears.
See, something
they are reluctant to trust their own judgment and say, you know, I think this is a bunch of crapola. They're going to wait. Will somebody please tell me what to think?
You know what? And I blame the public school system for that because this is what they're taught in school, for somebody to tell me what to think, not how to think.
Mm-hmm. I agree with you.
You know, and you go through 12 years of that, you get out, watch the news, and go, well, what was he said?
Yeah, I know. That to me is the problem. People don't have eyes to see and ears to hear, and they don't trust themselves. And the truth of the matter is, you know, all of us are prone to make mistakes, and we all know through bitter experience that we can screw up big time. But you should also know that there are people that are just, the system is feeding you lies. And you're going to have to strike out on your own, and you're going to have to start making your own perceptions and say, here's what I think. Here's what I think's going on. This is what I see. You might be mistaken, but at least you make enough mistakes, it'll refine your own capacity for perception, point one, and you'll get away from that dependence on people that you have to know are lying to you.
Well, and you know what? The people go, well, you know, immigration built this country, and to a certain extent, yeah, people immigrated here, and they took on the American way, which was, hey, you know what? I'm going to strike out. I'm going to do what I think I can do, and I'm going to take my chances. Win or lose, I'm doing this. And that was what built America. And, yeah, immigrants took part in that.
Yep.
But now it's like, well, I don't know. Let me get an expert. Let me ask somebody, what do you think I should do? What do you think is right? Who do you think will win? Because I don't want to vote for anybody who loses because...
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it doesn't matter if you're voting for a good guy or a bad guy. What's important is that you put your money on the winner so you can brag about, yeah, I voted for Obama. And before that, I voted for Bush. And before that, I voted for Clinton. So I'm just a winner, a winner, a winner. Mm-hmm. My God.
Yeah, and then, you know, oh, man, I drag it back to the public school system. I really do, because 12 years of being taught that what's important is you sit around with a bunch of other kids, and what do those other kids think? Okay, what's the consensus? You have to go along with the consensus of the other children, And that's what's right now in school. And you get 12 years of this, and then you get hit the bricks, and you're out there, and what else do you know?
Yeah.
Except, well, where do I get my new consensus? Oh, the TV, there we go. They've got experts, they've got panels, they've got, you know, spokesmen. And oh,
you're smart, you'll get it from your whoever your new employer is.
Yeah.
All right, because he's the one who's going to decide if you're making any money or not. Again, it's not a question of right or wrong. It's a question of simply being obedient and being a follower. And we are great. I'm teaching these kids to be followers. They have to know. They have to be angry, upset. They have to know they're being robbed and deprived. And the people that they have, they trusted and they should be able to trust, which is to say the supposed adults in this country, they're just railroading their own children.
That's a fact. You know, and the Bible, I believe, has a part in there where the children are going to be killing their own parents. You know, they're not going to be, they're going to realize, hey, you know what, you sold me.
In Revelation, I believe you're right, there will be parent, you know, husband against wife, parent against child, child against parent. The Messiah is not coming to bring peace. He's coming to bring big-time trouble, at least initially.
Yeah.
We're going to go through that. I may be mistaken to say it's the Messiah, but in Revelation, my recollection, there will be great chaos and strife. And then, in the aftermath, we're going to see something good happen. But
yeah. But you know, it goes back to what you've commented on in your own experience, and I've had mine. Everybody's had, you know, you trusted someone and they betrayed you somehow. Yeah. They let you down, even if it wasn't intentionally. You know, still they let you down. You trusted them, and nothing hurts more than that. You know, nothing hurts more than that. So a child who trusts their parents and then comes to the realization, you sold me out.
Yeah.
You know what?
I'm going to be some angry kids before this is all over. And these are the kids that a lot of people are going to be senior citizens and going to say, okay, Sonny, you go ahead and work your butt off in order to support me because I'm an old timer and I was dumb enough to believe the promises government made about Social Security or other pension funds. And so you, Sonny, are not going to have enough money to buy a house. You're not going to have enough money to get married or raise your own family. But to heck with you, Sonny, because it's all about taking care of the elders.
Yeah, well,
those kids, if they've got any brains, are going to say, you old folks, and I'm 69, you understand? I'm not speaking from the perspective of a youngster. But I am not going to blame those kids at all where they say, you old timers, figure it out for yourselves.
All right, here's
your
demise.
You're not selling us down the river and leaving us with your debts. You didn't want to pay your own bills? Fine. You didn't want to pay them when you were in your prime? Pay them when you're not in your prime.
Right.
We're going to make our money and keep it. If I was young, I guarantee you that's one of the arguments I would be advancing, and if I happen to hear it, I'm not going to argue against it. I'm going to say, no, you owe the old people. I don't owe the old people anything. The old people should have been paying their own bills.
Well, that's true. And
shouldn't have a national debt like we do because nobody wants to pay the bills. Leave them for the kids. Leave them for the grandchildren.
Well,
leave them for somebody else.
That's the real thing. It wasn't just that they got, oh, well, gee, you know, we thought and the government lied to us and this and that. Yeah, they know exactly what's going on. They know exactly that they're pushing all this to the next generation. And they've been doing it for, what, 50 years, 100 years?
I don't know about 100, but I would say you could point back, you could say 50 years, and you'd certainly be safe.
You know, pushing it off to the next generation on to the next generation, and everybody's just kicking the can to the next generation, and the debt is going. You know what? Every presidency now, it doubles.
Yeah, that's basically Obama has nearly doubled the debt from when he walked in the door, and he's only been there now 6 years. By the time he's there for 8, he will have doubled the national debt.
Right. And Bush did the same thing.
Yeah, and they thought that was amazing.
Yeah, but now it's just every when is it going to be quadrupled? The next president?
No, it'll be actually, it'll be 8. It'll be 2, Bush's 2, Obama's 4, the next one will be 8 compared to what it was when Bush took office. We're going to take a break for some commercial announcements. I'm Alfred Addis here with Frank Stephan on Financial Survival. We'll be right back. Please stay tuned.
have denied internet access for their people during civil strife. The FCC seized in-use commercial shortwave frequencies right after the September 11th attacks. No one communication system can be depended on to be there when you need information. You need choices. You need a KU band free-to-air satellite system from AVR. The AVR system includes a receiver, an LNB, and a 75-centimeter dish. All you need to get on your own is the coaxial cable. The system is delivered to your door for $149.99. That's right, delivered for $149.99. That's the shipping and the system, $149.99. Call 541-225-4659. That's 541-225-4659. Or visit AmericanVoiceRadio.com and click Satellite System.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it: to secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity. Invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cedarstrom, on American Voice Radio Network and Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Hey folks, I'm Alfred Adusk. I'm here with Frank Stefan on Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver, 1-800-375-4188. I want to remind you, Discount Gold and Silver has two specials today. The first one is an MS63, Mint State 63, $20, St. Gaudens gold coin, 1 ounce of gold, just a shade under 1 ounce. And a 1 ounce Silver Eagle, shipping included, for $1,580. This is a good deal. But the second deal is even better. Special for today, 90% junk silver is available for only 50 cents over the spot price of silver while supplies last. Now, I don't think you can find another opportunity to buy silver for just 50 cents over spot. Don't ever, the price will depend on how much you want to buy and how what face value you want to buy and one thing or another. But it's a deal, all right? If you wanted to buy silver in the form of Silver Eagles, they'll normally cost $3 or thereabouts more than the spot price of silver. Some people charge much more than $3. You're going to have a hard time getting it for less than $3. We're not talking about $2 or even $1. We're talking about 50 cents over the price of silver, spot price of silver. Again, give them a call at Discount Gold and Silver, 1-800-375-4188. What else have we got, Frank? I've got here's something we were talking earlier about: confidence. Public confidence is growing. And I wonder if they've seen the following article, The People That Are Confident. Here's an article from CNN Money, and the headline is, Why Income Inequality Will Keep Growing. And what they explain is that the wealth of the United States is gained, it's most of the wealth of the United States, is gained from the appreciation of home values. 25% of Americans' wealth, the sum of all physical and financial assets, comes from the increased value of homes. But they've got problems. Let me see down. The problem is not... Over the last few years, the household values have fallen dramatically, including the price of homes, of course. But the article says the problem is not so much that wealth was lost, it's that the prospects for reversing the trend are so few. 7 years after the Great Recession, credit to buy a home is not generally available, and experts don't believe it will be anytime soon. People made most of their wealth off their homes. Lots of people lost their homes, and certainly the wealth that was much of the wealth that was included in their homes over the past since 2007, 2008. There's been a loss of that, and there's not a way, an easy way for people to get back on track and say, I would like to buy a home and start saving money. And they talk about the escalating student debt. People won't have enough money to buy homes. And here's what cracks me up. Since 2010, institutional investors have spent $22 billion to buy low-cost, foreclosed, single-family homes with the intent of holding them as long-term rental properties. All right? That number is expected to grow exponentially over the next few years. Essentially, these are now permanently unavailable to low-income people. Low-income people are going to be forced to be renters. They're not going to be able to buy a house and perhaps watch their wealth grow as the value of the house grows. All right? It means, and the point of the article is that we are being caught in circumstances where it's going to be very difficult for an average or low-income individual to get out. You're going to be caught in poverty, and you might as well learn to like it because you're not going to get a new house, and that's been the fundamental means, primary means in the past of generating more money, generating more wealth. That won't be available to the lower classes and much of the middle class. So what do you think, Frank?
Well, serfs don't have houses. Yeah. They rent, And in one way, you might be better off because everybody figures, well, you know, I need to get a house because it's going to go up in value. What if it doesn't go up in value?
Well,
the whole thing crashes and burns.
Well, then, in this case, though, the homes will be owned by institutional investors. What do you think they mean by the term institutional investors, Frank?
What do I think of the term?
No, what do you think they mean by that?
Banks.
And the banks that got the money from quantitative easing?
Yeah, exactly.
So the poor people in the middle class ultimately are responsible for giving $85 billion a month to the banks and financial institutions so they could buy homes. So the people who are responsible for paying for quantitative easing can't afford homes. They will be forced to rent.
Right. That's
true. I mean,
you
look at this sometimes, and it can't be just stupid.
No.
All right? There's some things that you look at and say, this isn't happening just because the government's stupid. They're doing this intentionally.
And the thing, too, to the listeners...
Frank.
Yeah, well, when,
you can't talk on the radio and talk on the phone at the same time, can you?
The thing is, to the listeners out there, what these institutional lenders are doing is they are holding tangible wealth.
Yep.
And they're going to rent it out, and they're going to get what they can, but they're holding on to the tangible wealth. So the listeners out there need to figure out what they're doing. Now, if they're doing it, and of course they're saying, okay, houses and land is tangible wealth, so is gold and silver. If you can't afford to go out and buy a house, maybe you should get some gold and silver, because that is tangible wealth. And if the institutional lenders think it's a good idea to hold on to tangible wealth, maybe you should pay attention. Maybe they know something that we don't know. Of course, we do know. They probably know when, but they also know, hey, this thing is going to go south, and tangible wealth is the only thing that's going to be worth anything.
I understand that.
You know? Have a caller.
We have a caller?
I think so, yes.
All right. That's just probably why the phone made that funny noise back a moment ago. Is there any correlation between the funny noise and the caller?
I think so.
Okay. Let's see what he's got.
Is there a caller?
Yeah.
Who are we talking to?
Hey, this is Dan in Texas.
Hello, Dan. What you got for us?
Hey, Alan, Frank, I was just going to tell you about these kids that are worried about they're not going to do it anymore, get their stuff back. They're getting it back from us old people that are retired. basically, the scenario is I worked and retired and from a large city, and all of a sudden it built up around me, and they want a 65-man football team, which they have, with the stadium and all that, but my taxes go up, and I'm on a fixed income.
Yeah.
So they're getting their money back out of me.
Well, it may be. I mean, there's only one solution to any of these problems, if there is a solution. I don't know that there's even a solution. You can mitigate these problems, but it happens. It's part of life. I get that. But somewhere along the line, you got to pay your own debts. And when the government goes into debt and the debt just keeps rising and rising and rising, that debt's being left for somebody's going to get stuck with it. And when they can't pay, it's going to be a devastating situation. The solution is you have to have a balanced budget where if you're going to spend $500 billion, you have to have revenue of $500 billion. And if you don't, you don't get to spend the $500 billion. That's one of the situations that mitigates these kinds of problems. But inevitably, you know, we get caught in zoning squabbles and one thing or another, and they want to raise property values. Even there, what do you think about zoning prices? Zoning rates?
Sir?
What do you think about zoning rates in the first place? Is it reasonable to increase the amount of money a man pays on the house? Should that be set according to what the current market value is, or should it be set according to the price he paid for the house in the first place?
Can I tell you what I told my tax man?
I don't know if you did. You pull a gun on the tax man?
What I told the tax man.
All right.
He said, usually people want to shoot me when you show up. I said, hey, man. I said, go on. I said, look, this is what it amounts to. Have a really nice house. I provide my own sewer system. I have no curbs. I provide my own water from co-op. I have my own well. I've provided myself with what they do nothing for me, but they want money out of me because I live in this county.
Yep.
And he understood.
Yep. But the law is the law, and we must obey the law, unless, of course, we're presidents, congressmen, senators, federal judges. They don't have to obey the law, but you have to obey the law. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I know. The whole system is just rigged in ways that make everybody just sit back and say, my God, what's going on here?
Exactly.
Yeah. Somebody's got to do something to stop this. And part of it is you just got to pay your own way. And every time somebody comes up and offers you a free lunch, you got to tell them, get out of here before we before we fire up the tar pot and get the feathers. All right? Do not come to me with an offer of a free lunch. Go. Do not give me a free lunch. You don't want it. Pay my way.
So I drive a 5-year-old car, and police are driving brand new SUVs with all the stone courthouses. And so the rest of us just kind of make do and try to put it together while these brats move in and spend all of our tax money.
I understand. In terms of home, I don't think you should be taxed on a home beyond the price you paid for it. All right. Well, that's another story. If and when you sell it, all right, I don't have a problem. If the price is appreciated X number of dollars, perhaps there should be a flat tax on whatever the difference in the price between what you paid for and what you sell it for. Maybe you got a tax liability there, but you can't
You're running out of town, you and Frank. I just want to say one more thing.
Go ahead.
I bought land and stuff. I took a penalty on my diverse investments and whatnot when I retired. And for 2 years, after 2 years, I paid the government $75,000 in taxes. Also, when I retired, they said because you have a retirement, you're penalized. And you might see 20% of the Social Security you paid in before I even got the retirement job. at that time, 5 years ago.
Yep.
So,
are you paying a penalty because you retired, or are you paying a penalty because you work hard?
I don't know. All I know is that I had a deferred comp program and a retirement, and I took it to buy land because I had to before I lost it. Because I wanted it, of course. But it cost me $75,000, just wrote a check off to Uncle Sam. So all these people that are saying these old people don't pay their part, that's the problem.
No, I'm not saying that per se, but I am saying they have left a debt to children that shouldn't have been left. You can't just sit back and excuse the national debt. And none of us can. Like I say, I'm 69. I'm not accusing elders. I am an elder.
Well, now the thing is, $75,000 is a lot of money, but it's a nice start on the $200,000 that everybody supposedly owes.
Fair share, the national debt. Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's a start, but you know, it's still it seems extreme, and it is extreme. But you know, if everybody was going to be okay, well, let's pay the debt. Well, come up with $200,000.
Yeah, each. Huh?
It's insane. It can't be paid. We're in a ditch and we can't get out.
Yeah. We can't get out with the car we've been driving in.
Nope.
We can crawl out of the wreck and climb up the banks of the ditch and get on the road and hitchhike into town and maybe start building a new car. But the car we've been riding in is going to be lost. And, you know, then there's a certain amount of justice in it. But because we've played the fool. We've been dumb enough to trust the government. We've been dumb enough to trust our politicians, and they have betrayed us persistently throughout most of your lifetime and mine. And now we're getting close to the end of that. They're going to have to admit, yep, it was all just a damn con. And you people, you've been conned, you've been fooled, you've been deceived.
Well, and what's the old saying is, an honest man cannot be conned. And
yeah, you can't con an honest man. That's why I say. That's why I say, don't tempt me with a free lunch.
Right.
You're going to give me a free lunch? I guarantee you, it's always an attempt to con people. Government comes up, so we got something free for you. They got nothing for you, folks. Government has nothing for you other than one way or another to extract your financial or political support. They're not here to give you anything. They're never here to give you anything. They are here to give you something, perhaps, you will give them even more in return. We're out of time for today. I want to thank all of you for listening. I'm Alfred Adisk here with Frank Stefan on Financial Survival. We will be back mañana. And in the meantime, with the good Lord, bless you, me, and Frank. Bye.
Work all night, I work all day to pay the bills I have to pay. Ain't it sad? And still there never seems to be a single penny left for me. That's too bad.